to the concluding portion of that chapter. I want to read from 8 through 15. Genesis 4, chapter 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood, so the word blood is plural, the word or the voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. The account of the first murder and God's judgment upon the murderer. Tradition has a heyday with this passage of Scripture and writings from many Jewish rabbis. Some of them go at great length as to the conversation of Cain and Abel. And one rabbi tells of Cain and Abel talking about the whole world belonging to them, and they go out to look it over and each take his portion. And each accused the other standing on his part, and they became involved in fisticuffs. And one of them said, Abel knocked Cain down and sat on him a while. That's the reason the scripture says that Cain rose up from where Abel had knocked him down and so forth. Those things are of passing interest, but no human being can write or record or reveal like the Lord. The revelation of God is separate and distinct from anything of man, and that's apparent on the face of it. No use speculating on what would happen. I think I told you once, didn't I, about in our Old Testament class, one of the fellows asked the professor, what would have happened if Adam hadn't sinned? You know. And the professor was about 80 years old and at times prone to be irritable. And he snorted a time or two and he said, I don't know. All I know is that he did. And that's what we have to deal with. Now let's go on with the lesson. But they're out there. And Cain slew his brother Abel. One rabbi said that Cain came up and caught Abel by the beard so he could hold him while he stabbed him with a dagger. Another one thought that Cain stabbed Abel many times, and his blood running out from many holes caused him to use the plural, his bloods. Another thought that Cain observed Abel cutting the throat of the lamb for the sacrifice and learned how to kill from Abel. And they thought perhaps Cain cut his throat. But as I said, interesting might be, but speculative. But Cain killed him. There was then and there is until today enmity between the religion of man and the revelation of Christ on the part of God. And there's enmity between those individuals who worship according to their will against those who try to worship according to the word of God. He killed Abel. So the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Not because the Lord didn't know, but to pierce the conscience of Cain. And it has been said that anybody who can murder can also lie. So Cain the murderer lies and says, "I know not." And then seeks to accuse God for meddling in his business. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord says, "What hast thou done?" "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground." The bloods of Abel can have reference to that of his posterity. His blood and the blood of all men cry out. Abel's blood is crying out for justice. We read in the Revelation, the 6th chapter, where the blood of the martyrs cries out to the Lord for vengeance. Now there is another whose blood crieth out, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But the cry of his blood is far different to the cry of Abel's blood. Abel's blood crying for justice, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ crying out for mercy. Upon those who will believe and trust in that blood. One thing Cain forgot, if he ever knew, and that was the omnipresence of the Lord, as well as his omniscience. The Lord knoweth all things. We can hide nothing from the Lord, nor is there any place in the universe where we can go and escape the Lord. Now the Lord pronounces a curse upon Cain. He'd already cursed the earth, and now he curses Cain from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive the brother's blood from thy hand. Now, when you till the ground and work the ground, it'll not yield unto you its fruit. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in all the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond. No place to call home. Cain cried out unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Then from thy face shall I be hid. I'll be a fugitive and vagabond all the rest of my days, and it'll come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. So the Lord guarantees that Cain will not be slain by his fellow man. So God has pronounced vengeance upon anyone who shall slay Cain. Vengeance sevenfold. And to ensure his being recognized, God set a mark upon Cain so that anybody that see him would know of his identity. Again, in the realm of speculation, some of the rabbis contend the mark put upon Cain was that of turning him black. That's speculation. But it's a mark that anyone seeing him from afar could recognize him. One tradition has it that a great horn grew out of his forehead, whereby they could recognize him. Another was that the Lord gave him a big dog to go with him, which would be a mark of identification, and various and sundry other marks. But since the scripture doesn't say, one golden rule of interpretation is where the scripture silent, we too maintain a silence. Now, there's one very intriguing thing about Cain. Some of the early so-called church fathers credited with seeing it, first of all, they see a marked similarity between Cain and the children of Israel. They see Cain as a type of Israel. Now, Cain was the firstborn of Adam. And Israel, in Exodus 4 and 22, is called the firstborn of God. The word Cain means acquisition, and his mother calling him acquisition, saying, I have acquired a man of the Lord. And he too sought to acquire in fulfillment of his name. And so we find the children of Israel, a people of acquisition capacities, getting and gathering. Cain turned out bad. And Israel turned out badly. Cain engaged in a willful worship. He wanted to exercise his own will. And Israel set herself against God and exercised her will contrary to the will of God. Cain brought the fruits of his own hands as an offering, a sacrifice to the Lord, and the children of Israel, according to Romans, have gone about to establish their own righteousness or their own righteous deeds or give to the Lord the fruit of their hands. We will be studying one of these days about the rich Pharisee who paid tithes of everything and observed this and that. They were very punctilious in the observance of their rules and regulations, caring not for the rules, regulations of the Lord. Cain refused to accept the lamb that God provided for him. And Israel refused to accept the lamb that God provided for her, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Cain slew his brother. And Israel slew her brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord cursed Cain, and he became a fugitive and a wanderer on the face of the earth. And the Lord cursed Israel, and she became a fugitive and a wanderer on the face of the earth. Cain was fearful of being slain, and every man's hand against him, and the Word of God tells us that the hand of every man was against Israel, and she fears until this day being slain at the hands of mankind. God put a mark on Cain so that he could be recognized. God put a mark on Israel. Isaiah 61. Several have asked me about that verse. You might do well to mark that. Isaiah 61, verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall recognize them. I'm sure you appreciate the word acknowledge. You pass one on the street and they speak to you. You acknowledge their greeting, or you recognize them by speaking to them. Now, God says here that God Almighty is going to have them so that they'll be recognized by all the Gentiles wherever they may go. All that see them shall recognize them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. The Jew today, possibly more than any body else, have resorted to surgery of the face. Many, many of them have had their noses altered, other forms of facial uplift of one sort or another. They change their names. I'll never forget a Jewish merchant in the town where I was pastor once told me he was sending his boy up to our Sunday school. And he said, I don't want my son to ever know that he is a Jew. And I don't want anybody at the church or Sunday school to say anything to him. But the Lord puts a mark on them. I've heard it said facetiously and possibly in sarcasm that the map of Palestine is written all over their face. I don't know, but the Lord says here, their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and any and everybody that sees them shall recognize them and know that they are the seed, they are the Jews, the Hebrews, which the Lord hath blessed. Now, God put a mark on Cain, and God put a mark on the children of Israel. God pronounced vengeance upon anybody that slay Cain, and God said in his word, cursed, I'll curse him that curseth thee. God pronounced a curse upon anybody that lift a hand against the Jew or the children of Israel. Another interesting thing about Cain, there's no record of his death. And there's no record of Israel's demise. So far as the record goes, Cain is still alive. I didn't say he was alive. Now, I said, as far as the record goes. But the Jew is still alive, and he will live forever more. And we have that. Cain, a type of the nation of Israel. Now, in the 16th verse, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. There's another incident in sacred history, as they call it. I just say in history. On the night of the betrayal of our Lord, Judas went out from the Lord and the presence of the Lord, and the scripture says, and it was night. It was night. If God is light, those who go out from his presence go into the night and into the darkness. Out of the presence of the Lord. The psalmist cried out day and night, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from hearing me? No more bitter experience can come to a human being than the consciousness that they have gone out from the presence of the Lord. And what a agonizing moment when you realize that heaven is as brass over your head, and the prayer ascends no higher than the ceiling. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod. The land of Nod is the land of wandering. One rabbi said that every place that Cain went, and upon which he stood, the ground shook. And he moved on, trying to get away from that shaking of the earth. But no matter where he went, the earth continued to shake. Tradition, that's all. He went out into the land of Nod, the wandering. You've heard of the wandering Jew. And that's the title of a book that's been written about the Jews, the wandering Jew. No place to call home. Another thing just came to my mind just then. You recall the Lord told Cain that wherever he went, the land would not yield its fruit. I think of the land of Israel. When Israel is out of the land, it does not yield its fruit. And when Israel's back in the land, it yields its fruit. And Cain knew his wife. Oh, Brother Wilson, I'm so glad I came tonight. I have worried all my life about where Cain got his wife. I have had men tell me that they would not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because they didn't know where Cain got his wife. I never could see. I said, well, have you ever figured out whether the hen or the egg came first? I said, that would disturb me more than Cain's wife. In those days, brothers and sisters married with the approval of God. It was a few centuries before God laid down rules concerning marriage of relatives. One rabbi had Cain and Abel falling out over their wife. Cain wanted Abel's sister and favorite sister and vice versa and so forth, and they had a fight. An interesting thing about the Church of Rome is to be found in the fact that tradition plays a great part in her history and dogma, so called. And some of the most grotesque traditions in existence are those centered around the babe and child of Jesus. Scripture's silent on our Lord from about 2 until he's 12, and from the time he's 12 till he's 30. But tradition has filled those years with everything in the world. Now one could worry a little bit about why one of his sisters would have to share his curse and become a wanderer and a fugitive and a vagabond too. But it is there. Having taken his... Some contend that Cain married a descendant of some of the pre-Adamite individuals. According to the scripture, is there or was there any such thing as a pre-Adamite race? Who was the first man, according to the scripture? Adam was the first man, and who was the second man or the last man? The Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't any man before Adam. There wasn't any human being before Adam. Cain's wife conceived and bare a son. He called his name Enoch. Then he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Here's Cain, his wife, their son, their descendants, posterity, establish a city. out of the presence of the Lord, they seek to make the cursed earth habitable apart from God. Mention made of the daughters that are born into this group, and no record made of time. Another interesting thing about this genealogy as compared to the one in the fifth chapter, turn over to the fifth chapter for a moment, and well, look, if we start in the sixth verse. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos, and Seth lived, after he begot Enos, 807 years, begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. He died. Now, if I were not, we have no record in the genealogy of Cain's descendants of, and he died. It says they bear certain ones, but no mention is made of them begetting one and some and then dying, as it is concerning the descendants of Cain. Let's come back here now and look at Cain and his descendants, and then next week, the Lord willing, we'll take up the descendants of Adam and Eve. The 19th verse, Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, the name of the other, Zillah. The birth of polygamy among the descendants of Cain. To go out from the presence of the Lord and seek to make conditions and life itself enjoyable without the Lord is sheer impossibility. Two wives. A man in court on the charge of bigamy asked the judge what was the penalty for having two wives, and the judge said, "Sir, that's it." I've heard that a man and a woman, happy together, could live in a tent, but a man and two women never found a place big enough to live in. But Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Ada, the name of the other, Zillah. Maybe you're interested in what the rabbis thought. One wife was to do all of his work and be his slave, the other his companion, and travel with him wherever he went, so forth and so on. Modern. The scriptural wife is to be all things to the man. Maid, companion, etc. And then the last days, I'd be his nurse, I guess. What a blessing for man. I say that with deep thought and appreciation. God's greatest gift to a man is a good woman. I referred to the Old Testament professor. His advice to all of the single students was, don't marry some girl expecting her to make a great preacher out of you. But you better be careful who you marry, because you might get one that ruin a preacher in a minute. She can't make a preacher out of her, but she can ruin one in a hurry. Well, that may apply to other professions too, or callings. God saw it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he made for him and helped me. I guess Lamech thought if one was good, two were better. But he found different. Ada and Zillah. Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. There's the beginning of the cattle industry. Breeding, development of cattle as a profession. He had a brother by the name of Jubal. And he was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ. The word Jubilee comes from Jubal. And music is associated with Jubal. Music has played a very important part in civilization of man. We remember how David, playing upon his harp, soothed Saul when his spirit was troubled. There's nothing like good music to quiet and steal an individual. There's nothing that can stir one up like music. One thing I've missed in this war is martial tunes. I remember World War I. What was it? Over there, over there, over there. How are you going to keep him down on the farm? After he's seen Perry. Oh, the songs. But I don't imagine any more thrilling sight than to see a company of soldiers marching down the street, the banners and flags flying, and the band playing some of Sousa's marches. That stuff makes you just want to grab a gun and start shooting. You just fight anybody. Nowadays, they smoke a little pot and kill their fellow compadres. Oh, me. But they had the music. When the West was settled, and when they headed from way up in the north down toward Alabama, they carried their banjo on their knee. They carried the guitar, the French harp, into the West. Cowboys riding herd at night would sing to the cattle, and those who could do so would yodel. And many a stampede has been averted because of a cowboy singing, "Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie." Music has been a part of civilization and culture, so called. The harp and the organ. I can remember, believe it or not, way back in prehistoric days when at the end of the day, gather around the piano and Mama play a few hymns and we'd all sing. Far cry from that to the rock and roll that came out of the heart of Africa, which was a prelude to their sexual orgies. Music. Papa traded four horses for a piano once. That's how much he wanted his family to sing and learn to play music. Finer things of life are gone. Well, that's enough of that. Let's move on to the next verse. Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Now, beloved, this is a full and complete rejection of the false theory of evolution. Here, the first man, even apart from God, as civilized as man is today, and possibly more so. I ran across some other traditions that I want to look into, time permitting. Some of the traditions gathering around this group and everything speak of men flying. Well, don't look at me that way. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That wasn't me. That was Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. All kinds of work in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal was Naamah. Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah. Boy, now there's where trouble starts. I just wonder if he said Ada and Zillah this time and then Zillah and Ada the next time. Which one comes first and when? But he said Ada and Zillah. Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. I got involved in a fight with a young man and he wounded me and he hurt me, but I killed him. Now let's shout and sing. If Cain shall be avenged 70-fold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son. Called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Prayers and sundry translations of that last verse. Some of the old manuscripts would have it, and then men began to call themselves by the name of the Lord. And that isn't at all far-fetched, because in the New Testament they called themselves, or they were called by the name of the Lord when they were called Christians or Christians. Some lean to the view that in those days, after man had sinned and been expelled from the Garden of Eden, then the kingdom of time, separated from God as they were, they began to call upon the name of the Lord, and they began to pray and converse with him in prayer as we do today. But here is Seth given to Adam and Eve in the place of Abel, and he has a son named Enos, which means to call themselves by the name of the Lord, or to call upon the name of the Lord. For meditation, think as you lie upon the bed and sleep flees from you. Think of the origin of religion with Cain and how it has developed here and formed the very foundation of civilization as we know it. Any and every attempt to provide something here that ministers to the comfort and well-being of a human being apart from God Almighty can but result in tragedy and failure. God must be considered in everything that we do. Cain went one way, and Seth and his posterity another, the way of the Lord. We consider the worship of man as established by Cain and the worship of God as observed by Abel and then by Seth. Our Father, dismiss us with thy loving care and tender mercies. Protect us and keep us, see us safely to our homes. Once again, we call to thy notice these names of people in need of help, asking that thou wilt draw nigh unto them and bless in a special way. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.